We continue on in our series, which is called Pack Light. We are inspired by some verses from Hebrews chapter 12, which help us to travel with God. We can have the next slide. So we had this verse last week. We've got it again. We might have it for the next few. So let's read it together. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. To be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus, which means to walk in his ways, to learn from him, to mature in him, and build the kingdom of God with him. To follow him closely, we need to rid ourselves of various bits of excess baggage which can hold us back and can slow us down. So last week we looked at how religious baggage, such as focusing too much on buildings, focusing on tradition, focusing on church politics, can distract us from the clear and the simple and the beautiful message of the good news of the gospel. And this week, the baggage that we're going to be looking at is going to be hesitancy. We're not far through, halfway through the year, and Hannah and I haven't really planned any holidays yet. And we are absolutely dreadful at planning holidays. Maybe you're similar to us, where sometimes you feel like you spend more time planning your holiday than actually being on holiday. And that would definitely be the case for us. We're very happy to go on lots of different websites to look at all sorts of different options. But when it actually comes down to clicking on that button to be booking that flight, to be booking that accommodation, we hesitate. And we think, well, let's just sleep on it one more night, just in case we change our minds or we have some sudden inspiration to do something different. And of course, the result of all that hesitancy in booking flights and booking accommodation is that when we do eventually come round to booking it, it's a lot more expensive than it needed to be. There's a great cost in being hesitant in booking holidays. Now, we have to be honest here, don't we, that sometimes when we hesitate, it is for a good reason. And I'm sure amongst all of us, there will have been times in our lives when we thought we've got this really great idea or we really feel like we should be doing this, that or the other. And then we hesitate, we maybe sleep on it, and then the next day we think, oh man, that would be a dreadful idea. And we're so pleased and we're so glad that we had that hesitation. But for a lot of the time, there is a cost in hesitating in what we do. If you play football and you find yourself close to the opposition goal, you've got the ball, you've got this wide open space to have a shot, the last thing you want to be doing is hesitating. You don't want to start thinking about, okay, where should I take another touch of the ball? Whereabouts should I be shooting this? Because as soon as you've had that hesitancy, as soon as you've been thinking all of these things through, a defender has come along and swiped the ball away from you, and you've got no chance to have your shot. Maybe in the past or maybe in the present, you have moved house or you've been thinking of moving house. And maybe you go on something like Rightmove or you go on Zoopla. You do your search for the house that you want and this dream house comes up. One which is within your budget. One which would really suit your needs and for your stage of life. And you think, yes, that would be the perfect house. And then you close your laptop. And then you go back to it the next day and you look it up again, and you think, yes, that would be the perfect house. And then you close your laptop, and then the next day, you open it up again, and oh, look, it's no longer on Rightmove, or it's got a sold sign next to it. Through that hesitancy, you have missed that opportunity to get that house. Maybe in all of our pasts, we have found times when we've wanted to have a relationship with someone, whether it be a romantic relationship or a friendly relationship with someone. And we've been plucking up that courage to make contact with that person, to see whether they might be available to meet for a coffee or to go out for a drink or something like that. But because of the hesitancy, you put it off. And then because of that hesitancy, you put it off again and again and again until that opportunity has been lost. Perhaps the worst hesitancy that we can have maybe in everyday life is sometimes when we're not feeling particularly well, and I'm really talking to men at this point, when we're not feeling very well at all, we're really struggling, and we think we should probably ring up the doctors. But we hesitate, don't we? We hope that the problem will solve itself. We hesitate and we hesitate and we hesitate. And then maybe if we do get to the point of really needing to go and see our GP, it's at that point when we realize we should have gone much earlier. In the Christian faith, there can also be much hesitancy. The Christian faith is a wonderful faith. It's a faith where it's not just about rocking up to some services now and again, but it's a faith which allows us to have so many wonderful opportunities and adventures. Just like what some of the things that George was mentioning in the prayers, there are so many different ways in which we can interact with others, so many different ways in which we can serve, so many places that we can go to be with God, to serve him, and to be building up his kingdom. But with all of these opportunities to be had, with all these adventures that we could go on, we can often hesitate in knowing which ones to do, or whether those adventures or those opportunities are right for us or might be better for someone else. And so this morning I want us to be thinking for a few minutes about how we should be leaving hesitation behind, that hesitation itself can be a baggage that we don't want to be carrying forward in our Christian faith as we journey with Jesus. And so we're going to be looking at a very well-known passage this morning from Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to read from verses 22 through to 33. Jesus insisted his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, where he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Immediately, Jesus reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. And so we have this wonderful picture that has been visualized, that has been demonstrated, that has been painted in so many beautiful and glorious ways of the disciples who, again, in Matthew's gospel, find themselves in trouble. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. They're not close to any shoreline at all. It's about 3 to 6 in the morning, so it's pitch black, and there's a storm. And you'll know from previous messages that the Jewish people were frightened of the water, and they held certain beliefs about what was underneath and what was in the sea. They were scared of the sea, even when it was quite pleasant, let alone when it was stormy. And just like a horror movie, they see what they think is a ghost coming towards them on the water. And it's not that weird to think that they would be thinking that this was, in fact, a ghost, because who on earth would be walking along the sea? Jesus doesn't let them freak out for too long, and so he reveals himself as Jesus, their friend. And then we see Jesus coming increasingly closer towards the disciples in their boat. But he doesn't need to be traveling in a boat. He's simply walking across the water with his sandals on. The disciples would have had all sorts of different thoughts going on in their minds, wouldn't they? They might have been thinking, okay, Jesus is coming towards us. Jesus is now probably going to get on the boat with us. And then we'll see what happens. Maybe they're thinking, it's great that Jesus is now here. Now he will calm the storm, because we see back in chapter 8 of Matthew of Jesus calming the storm. And so they'd be hoping that he'd be doing the same again. Maybe they were so tired at this point. It's the early morning. It's pitch black. They've been frightened. They're exhausted. Maybe they're hungry as well. Maybe they're thinking, oh, thank goodness Jesus is here. Now he's just going to whip us back to the shore in no time. Maybe these were some of the disciples' thoughts. But the disciple Peter had a very different thought from the rest of them. His thought was this: if Jesus walks on water, then surely, through the power and the authority that Jesus has over nature to be doing this, surely, as he shares that power and authority with me, surely I can walk on water too. And Peter is bold in asking if he can. The disciples must be thinking, oh, this is typical Peter, isn't it? Rather than thinking about getting out of this mess, rather than trying to get rid of all these troubles and this danger that we find ourselves in, Peter wants to do something completely off the wall and to do something completely wacky. But Jesus, in his grace and in his understanding of each and every personality, responds to him. Yes, come, Jesus said. Now, it was Peter who asked the question, can I come and walk on water? But I wonder if Jesus' answer isn't just to Peter, but it is in fact to all of the disciples. Peter climbs out of the boat and he starts to walk each step. And you can just imagine that first step would have been petrifying. Something that he was, not only was he just walking on water, he was walking on the thing which he was scared of most. To put that first foot out, and then to have that experience of feeling like really he was walking on land, must have been the most incredible feeling for him. What a realization of faith for him that he had taken that step. How that must have built up his faith. And then when he takes that next step, and now he's completely free of the boat, completely independent of it, now just walking on water. How each step must have been an incredible faith builder for him. But with each step, as Peter's faith grows, I wonder with each step of his what it does to the faith and also to the understanding of the disciples around him. Because every step that Peter takes, He gets further away from the boat. He gets closer and closer to Jesus. And in this journey, the rest of the disciples who are watching realize that their opportunity to join in with this miracle is vanishing before their very eyes. If they were hesitant in joining Peter as he took his first step, how much more hesitant would they have been as he started taking all of these steps? Peter looking at Jesus, Jesus looking at Peter. It suddenly goes from being perhaps this communal opportunity for the miraculous to something which starts to hone in on just two people, just to Jesus and to Peter. We know that Peter, as he is looking at Jesus, takes his eyes off Jesus' eyes. And he starts to look around him. He starts to look at the effects of this blustery wind and storm around him. And then he starts to sink. He doesn't start to drown. Jesus wouldn't let him get to that point. But he did start to fall deeper and deeper into the water. And it's at this point where we see the intervention of Jesus. Jesus doesn't wait. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. And I think this is a wonderful detail for us to take on board, because Jesus could have saved Peter with a word. Jesus, the Son of God, brought the whole of creation, the whole of the universe and everything in it, he brought it and created it with words. We also see Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 calming the storm with just words. And yet in this instance, Jesus doesn't use a word. He uses an act. He doesn't keep distant from Peter. He doesn't see Peter struggle and keep a distance. No, he reaches in and he grabs him with his hands. Not long after this, Peter will discover just the power that Jesus has in his hands. The time when they all meet for dinner together, and Jesus commands that he will give foot washing to all of the disciples. Even though Peter doesn't want it, Jesus does it for Peter and for the other disciples. And the way that Jesus does it, he doesn't wash their feet with a word. He washes their feet with his hands. And then later on still, we'll see that Jesus doesn't deal with sin with a word, but he deals with sin with his hands as he allows the Roman soldiers to be puncturing huge nails into his hands. We have this wonderful display of Jesus' divinity in this, as he has power and authority over the storm and over the physics of the sea. And yet we also see Jesus' beautiful and perfect humanity, as he doesn't keep his distance, but he uses the flesh which he chose for himself to reach out, to grab, and to save his friend. And then Jesus says, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" We have this wonderful experience. We have this wonderful miracle. And sometimes when we read something like this, we think that Jesus has suddenly gone from being Peter's best friend to being a little bit harsh with him, considering the circumstances. But actually, there's just a video clip that I wanted to show you this morning, which shows it from a slightly different perspective. That sometimes when we read the scriptures like this, it can seem like such a harsh rebuke in the way in which we read it, in the ways in which we understand it. But sometimes it's good just to see a different perspective of how Jesus really speaks and the tone that Jesus really has with those that he loves so much. So we're just going to watch a clip now. Okay, thank you, Ray. So that's just maybe a slightly different way of seeing the ways in which Jesus talks to his disciples, that maybe there is a lightheartedness and an understanding in the way that he speaks to them. The reaction from the disciples to this one of many miracles is a wonderful thing. And we see that through looking through Matthew's gospel, we see a change in their understanding of who Jesus is. And so, in Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus calms the storm, after he calms it, the disciples were amazed, but they had a question. Who is this man? They knew there was something special about him, but also there is ambiguity about him. But just a few chapters later on, through seeing this other miracle of Jesus walking on the water and also calming the storm again, we have this declaration: you really are the Son of God. And that's a wonderful journey of faith, isn't it? That hope that many of us are on. The disciples worship Jesus for what they have seen. They must have been in absolute awe and wonder of this thing which they had just seen. Not only for their Savior to be walking on water, but for to be seeing one of their best friends walking on water as well. What a wonderful thing, what a wonderful memory to treasure and to share when they soon get back onto the shore with their friends and with their families. But I do just wonder, although they worshipped him, whether there was just something inside the disciples that made them think, I really wish I'd also stepped out of that boat and walked on water too. This story is a wonderful illustration of how the Christian life isn't smooth sailing for any of us. N.T. Wright says this: this story can be read as a picture of the life of faith, or rather the life of half faith. Faith mixed with fear and doubt, which is the typical state of so many Christians, as it was with the disciples. We see the faith experience of Peter. We see the faith experience of the disciples. And we appreciate that through no one encounter do they sort out their faith, or does their faith become complete in any way. And we have to be humble in the same way in saying, no matter how long we might have been a Christian, no matter how short a time we might have been a Christian, no matter how much we might have experienced God or how little we might have experienced God, we are all in the same boat as we seek to grow our faith, grow our understanding of God. But here in this instance, we do see Peter displaying a bold faith. But what about the other disciples? How amazing would it have been if this story, which is recorded in three of the Gospels, didn't speak so much about Peter and Jesus, but the disciples and Jesus? How amazing would it be if we had lots of wonderful artwork which showed all of the disciples getting out of the boat together as one people group, having that faith and trust in Jesus and wanting to have that wonderful encounter and experience with him. Jesus was open to all of them getting out of that boat and walking towards him. But nearly all of the disciples hesitated. No matter what they might have wanted to do, in their actions, they decided to sit what they thought was safely, although it wasn't because they're in a storm, but to sit safely in the boat and simply watch what Peter and Jesus were about to do. We need to be careful that we're not the same as the disciples in this sense. Because so often we are sitting down and we are listening, or we are watching, or we are having explained to us many wonderful things, and we decide not to take part. Just this past week, we had George Verwa, who started the whole OM movement, and he's been to, I think, over 100 countries, and he has got story after story after story of how he has brought the gospel to so many different places. And as he was stood up here sharing, and as I was sat over there listening, I was really blown away with some of the things which he shared, and for the passion that he had as well. It was clear that the experiences that he had gave him a raw passion and a raw desire and a real thankfulness and gratitude to the many adventures that God had taken him on over the course of many decades. I was inspired, and my faith, I'm sure, increased. But at that same time, I didn't have that kind of experience that he had, because I was sitting down and watching rather than getting up and moving around and following Jesus in that way. So when we do hear these wonderful stories, and at various times we have people coming up and sharing testimonies, sharing stories, sharing adventures that God has taken them on, yes, we can respond in worship just like the disciples do. But maybe our faith isn't really grown or transformed in the ways in which it could be, because we continue to sit down rather than seeking to join in with these wonderful adventures that are happening. Perhaps today, or in this season of your life, Jesus is saying, come. Maybe he is in a certain place and he is asking you to join him there. For some people here, it might be Jesus is asking you to come to faith. That week after week, we explain what the Christian faith is about. We explain what becoming a follower of Jesus is about. And week after week, you might sit there and you think, that sounds amazing. But you hesitate because you're thinking, what is this really going to involve? Or am I going to have to give up something? Is this going to be really too difficult or make me really uncomfortable where I'm feeling quite comfortable at the moment? Maybe that hesitation of coming to faith could come to an end today and you take that step of faith. Maybe Jesus is asking you to come and be baptized. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had Mia and James being baptized, and I know it touched a number of people. And I know that a number of people haven't been baptized and are fearful and hesitant about being baptized. Maybe it's the actual water itself. Maybe it's about thinking that you have to share your entire faith with a microphone in front of a huge number of people. Maybe you're feeling hesitant about doing that. But actually, if you did, and you followed Jesus in the way that he was baptized, then your faith would grow. In our Christian lives, the Holy Spirit promises to give us many different gifts to help us on that adventure and journey with him. Maybe we've seen gifts in other people in our church family, or maybe further beyond, and we wish that we had that gift for ourselves, whatever it might be. But we're hesitant because we're scared about what the Holy Spirit might be wanting to do in our lives, what the Spirit might make us do as a result, or how the Holy Spirit might ask us to serve in a certain way if he gives us that wonderful gift. Maybe we need to stop hesitating about asking for that gift and pursue it so that we can go on those wonderful adventures with God. And finally, what about mission? This past week when we had this special prayer meeting with George, one of the prayers that was prayed in our little group was that people would go, you know, as we all go on, many of us go on flights and go on holidays during the year, maybe some of us wouldn't go just on holiday, but might choose to take one of our holidays as maybe a short-term mission somewhere. And maybe you hear about where people have gone to, where people have gone and served, where people have gone and experienced different cultures and have sought to bring the gospel and the good news to people there. And you love the idea of it, but there's that real hesitancy in going ahead with it because it seems scary, because you don't know what it will entail. Maybe now is the time to stop that hesitation, leave that hesitation behind, and walk freely towards a short-term mission. I don't want any of us to be hesitating throughout our lives, be sitting week after week after week, seeing and hearing about wonderful things that are happening, but never experiencing it for ourselves. If we do that, we can worship, but we won't be growing in our understanding of God as much as we could be. So my encouragement is that we would leave hesitation behind. They would stop looking at other people's adventures and being in awe of them, but actually go on adventures with God ourselves. Let's leave hesitation behind, not focusing on our circumstances, not focusing on the waves and the scary things around us, but rather fixing our eyes on Jesus. May we step up, may we step out into these opportunities so that we can see Jesus' power and authority in all of its wonder and fullness. Not only would we see it, but would we actually encounter it as well. Amen. As a few moments of reflection, we are going to watch a music video by Brightline together.